He asked me that I wouldn't have anything to say. I don't really have too much to say except praise the Lord. And we want to thank the Lord for our visitors today. We appreciate seeing you out today. Praise the Lord. What did you come for today? What you come for today? You know, you get what you come for. Yes. Amen. We had a wonderful Sunday school class this morning. It's amazing what God does. It's all of you that, you know, that you're here at the church, you should make your way out to Sunday school. I'm telling you, you're missing something. We had a good class this morning. Really, just bless my heart. Isn't that right, you all that was there? You try to get out to Sunday school, it is really wonderful. And so we just want to thank the Lord for today. And I'm just sitting here and just, I got so much out the class this morning. Things that God is telling me and showing me. And I'm almost flabbergasted. Ain't that something for me? Speechless. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you. Reach out today and get what you need from God. Reach out and touch the Lord. Because the Bible says where two or three, he would be in the midst of us. And I believe that. I really do. I told the Lord, I'm coming here and I offer him praise and thanksgiving. And sometimes you think you got to do all, but I just offer him my praise. I want the fruit of my lips giving thanks to his name. Praise the Lord. I just thank him today for saving me and helping me and keeping me all these years. I think about the years I've stayed on this earth. And I said, Lord, I thank you. So as he was sitting there, I said, Lord, you let me finish my course. Keep me here. Make me strong. Make me strong so I can finish what you've given me to do. Praise the Lord. So I come here to offer him praise and to thank you all for coming. And I'm encouraging you to reach out. If you do, you get something. God bless you. And I don't have to introduce Brother Al, but there'll be time. I'm going to soon have to introduce him to folks. But now we want to receive him. Praise. First, we want to give God a big offering. Come on, let's give him a praise. Hallelujah. Now give Brother Al a clap. Praise the Lord. Brother Al.
Praise the Lord, saints of God. Praise the Lord. I see somebody else that came in the church. Oh, Lord, is right. My brother, my sister-in-law, Tammy. Boy, you just missed it, girl. You just missed it. Didn't I throw down, y'all? You just missed it, girl. You know what you were doing. You know what you were doing. No, I always, that's my sister-in-law, Tammy, back there, minister. Tammy D's, and she can sing, boy, I tell you, she can sing. She can't sing, she can sing. And ever since I've met her, boy, I've been messing with her. I said, girl, you don't want to sing nothing with me. Because she don't. But I thank the Lord this morning once again for allowing me to stand before his people. I thank God for you all, for Gwen. Thank you for encouraging me this morning. Sister Jackie, I thank you also. It's just so nice to have people to stand with you, you know. And I really thank the Lord for bringing me one day way down from Paige and Sarah. That's when I first saw Tammy singing at Lively Stone, or Bypass Lively Stone, Bypass Solomon's Temple, and some more great churches. But I thank the Lord when he came way down there and plucked me out of the city and brought me out here in the field. And, man, I tell you, I was blessed in the city, like the song said, and I truly been blessed out here in the fields. Lord knows what he's doing. I just thank God for that. I thank the Lord for my pastor. She probably going to get on me afterwards, but, you know, I like to always thank her, you know, appreciate her. Oh, my mom passed. The Lord knows what he's doing. He just put somebody in my path just like my mama. Just like her. And I'm going to tell you how she just like her. She believed the word of God. Mama believed the word. Mama ain't believing. Doctors. Can I get amen if I'm telling the truth back to brother and sister? Brother and sister, is that the truth? Mama didn't believe in no doctor. She believed that God will. God can. And that's what the Lord put in us through our mother. And boy, I tell you, when mama left, bam, I didn't miss a beat. So I thank the Lord for my pastor, because she sure believed. And faith, I mean, well, I don't want to open up nothing, but my God, she believed the word of God. I just thank the Lord for putting me under a person of faith. that believe every word of that this Bible has. I'm going to try to encourage you on this morning, and I ain't going to try to preach the whole Bible in a few minutes. That's what my sister taught me. Look, you can't tell the goodness about Jesus in one sermon. All right. But I'm not a long-winded preacher yet. May not ever be, but until God give me the increase, I'll be as I am. Just thinking about what's going on in the world today, we have a slogan. We had a slogan 8 years ago from the president. We can. Which, you know, good. And even this one here. Make America great again. I like them. I like them both. But it seems like that we're trying to get there. Because with yes, you can. We can. We can. Can't we, Gwen? But what? With God. We can't do nothing without the Lord. Now, one thing. It would have been nice if President Obama was a saved man with saying, yes, we can do all things through Christ. It would be nice if Donald Trump was a Christian saying, we're going to make America great again with God. But God ain't in nowhere. He's not in the picture nowhere. So we can't be great. And we can't because there is not a God. We didn't evicted him. We kicked them out, brought in some other gods. It's all here in the Bible. If we read our Bibles, you know, we won't have to have no quarrels and no disagreement. It's written down, you know. God's showing us what happened with Israel, and it's right here today. You know, we hear about the bombings, and not just, you know, we talk about the people coming overseas doing stuff. What about our own brothers doing stuff to one another? We still got the spirit of Cain and Abel over here. You know? Brothers killing brothers, sisters killing sisters. No remorse. You know, they running over folk. Leaving the scene in an accident. Just gunning. Just doing crazy stuff. But God still is in control. I don't care what's going on. God is still in control of this mess. You know, so I'm going to try to encourage you this morning. I'm going to be reading in the book of Judges, chapter 2. I'm going to jump over to Judges, chapter 3. Lord, just letting us know, he said, when you see these things happen, it's not the end yet. He said, it's the beginning of woe. So we in the beginning. You know, we in the beginning of what's going on. We ain't seen nothing yet. You know, we go through a little bit, you know, but we learn how to endure with this little bit. I'm going to start chapter 2, verse 1. Father, in the name of Jesus, first of all, Lord, I thank you, Lord, once again for allowing me, Lord, to stand before your precious people, Lord, your sheep, Lord, God, whom you love. I thank you, Lord, for giving me the liberty, Lord, to handle this word, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you will speak to me and speak through me, Lord. Lord, help me, Father God, to encourage, Lord, the people, Lord. If nothing but one person, Lord, help me to encourage that person, God. You said you came for those that are lost, God, those that are sick, God. So I pray, Father God, that you will use me this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 1, and it reads, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgad to Bochim and said, I made you to go out of Egypt and have brought you unto a land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Say, why have you done this? He said, I made you to come out of Egypt. He made us to come where we are. It ain't that we wanted to come. You know, it ain't that he beat us across the head and say, you're going to come. Like, you know, you see some people out there. Me, I mean, my family, my kids, I'm just rough on. I was rough on them. They was telling Kobe, giving him the rundown how I raised them. And say, boy, daddy really whooped us. I can say the same thing. My daddy beat us. But the Bible said, beat them. That's what the Bible said, beat them. I didn't beat them, beat their brains out, but I let them know. You know, this is the way you're supposed to go. God didn't beat us over our head and say, I'm going to drag you out of here. You know, you can come or you can stay in Egypt if you want to. He said he made them to come out of Egypt. And he said, I would never, he said, and he said, I swore unto your fathers. I said, I would never break my covenant with you. Has God broken a covenant? No, God ain't broke no covenant. He said, I swore to Abraham, your father. I swore to Jacob, your father. Isaac, your father. I swore to them that your name is going to be great. Your seed name is going to be great. And anybody bless you, I'm going to bless them. Anybody curse you, I'm going to curse you. Curse them. So God is not a covenant breaker. He said, and that you shall make no league in the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? And we can ask questions and survey our own hearts and our own minds and ask, Lord, have we been throwing down some altars? Or have we been going along with what's going on in this world? Why haven't we obeyed your voice, Lord? Why have we done this? And scripture come to mind that if we love the things of the world and the things in the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. You know, the pride of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these things grab a hold of us when we're down here. See, we're still sojourning in this place that we'll be trying to get to where God's trying to take us. We're still on our journey. Ain't nobody reached that yet. Because we're still here listening to the word. We're still praising God. We're still praying to God. You know, so we're still on our journey. And so through this journey, we pick up so many different things. Just like the children of Israel, they traveling through four lands and they see all of this good stuff. And they come out of sin, come out of Egypt, and they knew how they would deck themselves. And all of this clothing and these jewelries and all of these things. So they want this stuff too. You know? But there's a way to get these things that we desire. And some of the things that we want, he said, we ain't supposed to have them no way. You know? But we want them anyway. You know? Like the little girl on the Charlie Effect. Dottie, I want it right now. Get me one right now. Man, you got to go through some stuff to get what I got. You know? Just don't hand these blessings over. And he said, wherefore I also said, I would not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice, and they wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, a place of weeping. And they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man to his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, been 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Here it is, Joshua gone now. You know, they had it good. Joshua brought them over. Joshua dead, the generation that saw these great things that the Lord did for them. And the Bible says there rose another generation. Sound like the generation that we're living in today. There rose, here it is, another generation which knew not the Lord. We act like we don't know the Lord, nor his works which he done for Israel. We was reading and studying in Haggai where the prophet, God spoke to the prophet and he said, tell the people, he said, which one of y'all who saw this former house in all its glory that's living now? How do you see it now? Israel, this generation that's raising up now, they don't know nothing about what God can do. They don't know nothing about who God is, or is there really is a God, and you got children in our houses, some of them have been raised up, kind of question the Lord now. You know, so here's a generation, don't know how God work, don't know what he want to do for you, don't know how to call on him, but we're going to take matters into our own hands. We're going to do what we want to do. You know, I got my thing, you got your thing. As long as you don't mess with my thing, I ain't going to mess with your thing. We're going to go and do our thing. But God is displeased with all of this. You know, here's a generation God is concerned about. He said, which one of y'all that's living saw, except for our elders? I'll say, pastor, dad, the elders. Y'all know who the elders are. They know what the church was all about back then. They seen people get healed and delivered. You know, there was a time when you come into church, when we was going to the storefront church, or Brother Anderson them church over on Dr. Martin Luther King, before when we got there, if the elders was there, the mothers of the church, they were already there and the service was already gone. It was already going. They were crying out for the city. They were crying out for the children. They were already working. They weren't like this church today where they come in and they sit down and look up the pulpit and waiting for the preacher to come out. How you know a preacher going to come out? What we going to do? You know, God looking and said, have y'all seen the church back then? I haven't witnessed that. But I know I've heard about what God can do. My mama used to tell me what God can do, what she put in. My pastor and all these great men and women of God telling us what God can do, what he's able to do. You know, we don't know. We have not seen that old church. The prophet was talking about the church of Solomon when he built that first church, how it was in all its pomp and splendor, how the servants were drinking out of this. But God ain't concerned about all of that right now. God looking for a people. And he told Abraham that he's going to make his name great. And there's going to be a nation come out of him. Look, we just got land if we ain't got no people here. God ain't come after no land. God looking for us to get out there and witness to these folk. Break the yokes. Pull down the strongholds. Yeah, I know we pray. We do pray. We got our prayer time. We got our prayer closet. But Sister said it Friday. We need more corporate prayer. We need to come in and bind this devil. We need to come in and pull down some strongholds. The Bible tells us that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Just imagine when we all get in this place, in some place, in some kind of setting, and begin to call up on the name of the Lord, what God would do, what he would do. We have a readiness to avenge disobedience, but our obedience has to be fulfilled first. We got to get, ask God to check us first. Lord, clean me up first. Get me together. So here's a generation that's rising up that don't know nothing about God. They begin to serve Balaam and do all kind of things and let their children do kind of things. And he said, they forsook the Lord, their God, their fathers, which brought them out of Egypt and followed other gods, of the gods of the people which were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. Look, and he said, and they forsook the Lord and served Balaam. He said, look, they forsook me. They followed all these other gods. What kind of gods, you know, I was thinking this morning, what kind of gods do we have this morning? What kind of gods in this land that we're following this? What is the major God that causing so much confusion down here? What caused all this stuff in this land, in our nation, to get off? I'm going to say it was money. Greed. I'm going to say it was money. You know, so people, they are looking, they're looking for God, but they want to do what they want to do too. They want to do everything under the sun, but they don't want to serve God and seek God. Jesus says you can't have two masters. He said either you're going to love the one, hate the other, hold fast to one, or despise the other. He said you cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon is money. That's what Jesus said. You know, so that's what we gotten off today. You know, we want the best this, we want the best that. Look, God said I'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said you had to need no, he said you need no money. He said don't take no purse with you. When they need to pay their tax, he told one of the disciples, go down there and look in the fish mouth. Don't pay our taxes. But he ain't concerned about the money. We're concerned about all these things. You know, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. God gonna make you to lie down in green pastures when you don't want to. He leads me beside the still water. God ain't gonna take you through no troubled water. He know how fragile we are. He gonna lead the water. The water's got to be still and calm. Well, I don't know about y'all. Y'all know, look, if it's trouble there, I'm gonna go the other way. So God said, look, I'm gonna lead you by the still waters. He leading us by the still water. He restored our soul. He leadeth us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not for my sake, but for his sake. God got something at stake, and it's his name. God gonna lead us in the path of righteousness. No, we don't want to go the right way sometimes. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto man. It seemed right for us to go down these avenues. It seemed right to go down Page. It seemed right to go up King's Highway. It seemed right for me to move this way. But unless God said, it's not right. He said, but in their end is destruction. He leads us in the path of righteousness for his name. So he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't know about y'all. We're walking in the valley of the shadow of death today. We're walking in the valley. Something can happen to us any given moment. You hear about it every day. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I will not fear no evil. What do I have to fear? Thy rod and thy staff, they comforted me. I got a comforter. I ain't got to worry about what man can do to me. Jesus said, look, don't fear man. Don't fear him that can destroy the body but not the soul. But fear him that can destroy both the body and the soul into hell. So are we fearing God? Are we reverence our God? Or are we scared about what these people are going to do? Are we concerned about what's coming up on the earth? We shouldn't be. We should still be working. We should have a word in one hand, like Nehemiah said, and a tool in the other hand. We should be getting with it. You know, every time we come to a setting, you know, people, they have their theory and they logic. We can come together. And, you know, but look. Let us come on and get together and start praying. We can break some yokes if we do that. Ain't no need of talking about none of this stuff. The talk ain't going to get it done. Praying on your knees, it'll get it done. See, that's work. You have to press your way into prayer. You have to press your way into his glory. You have to press your way into his presence. But when you're sitting down and you got all this gossip, it's going to be plain. You're gossiping about everything and, you know, it's your thing and they thing, and you want to do it this way, but see, I'm going to do it. But what do the Bible say? What did God say do? What did God say do? He said pray about what? Some things. He said pray about all things. We ought to always be praying. Men should always pray and not faint. But we faint at the least little thing come up on us. Oh, God, I just can't take it no more. I can't take it. You know what? You're right. You can't take it. You tell them the truth. We ought to pray and not faint. We're supposed to be strong. If God is inside of me, how can I be weak? If I'm weak, His strength is made perfect in me then. I'm still strong, but the devil done told me I'm weak. You can't do it. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. All things. I'm going to give this testimony. Tammy and Bebe, I told the saints, but one day I came in from work. Y'all know how long my bathroom been undone for over a year. And Tawana been getting on me telling y'all about it. But I came in one day, and I was just, no, I just ain't been feeling like doing nothing. I told my pastor, Brother Al? I said, Pastor, absolutely, positively. When I say nothing, I mean nothing. It was something that was just sucked out of me. I knew I was missing something. It was a void inside of me. But I came home, and Tawana was in the kitchen, and I kind of laid it on her, and she was the ear to hear, and I guess she didn't know what to say, and Kobe, he was stretched out between the kitchen door like that, and I looked up, and I saw him. It was as if though I was looking at my father, because something came over me like I was ashamed, and I looked at him, I dropped my head and said, like that, and I went around the counter. I said, well, yeah, I tried to clean it up. I couldn't clean it up. I got choked up. But this boy said, he leaned, he just looked at me and just stared at me. And I didn't want to raise my eyes and look at him. But he said, how about this? I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. How about that? Do that motivate you now? And right then I'm like, you know what? You're right. I can do all things. Here, you be teaching and preaching, telling folk. You can do all things. Yes, you can. Long as God on your side. And then when that stuff hits you, you just get the life sapped out of you, sucked out of you. So, you know, look, we can do what God has for us to do. We can do it. And when God, I'm going to go down to chapter 3. He said, now, these are the nations the Lord had left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing, namely five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwell in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering of Haman. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Look here. God said, I did this on purpose. One, because we know God knows all things. He knew that we was going to act up and get out of line. So I got to have the belt ready for you. You know, I know sometimes, you know, your kids, they don't do everything right. But I got a belt hanging by the bed. In case they get out of line, I ain't got to look for it. Because when I say I'm going to get you, I want to hurry up and get you before I forget. I don't want to come back. So God left these five lords for a reason. To whoop them. To prove them. He's trying to prove us. He's putting us through a test to see what we're going to do. You know all that good stuff we used to hear about the old saints, the elders, I don't even call y'all. The elders, how they sowed seeds, sowed prayer. They say, storing up lumber. You know, mama, why you praying? I'm just praying right now because I think I need to pray. Ain't nothing going on, mama, why you praying? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen to you when you leave out this door. You know, but what I got out of that, the five lords, five mean grace. Even in the midst of all of our junk, all this stuff down here, God still got grace. He still left us with something, grace. Grace and mercy should follow us all the days of our life. I don't care where we're walking at. I don't care what we're doing. God got a plan. We ain't got to worry about where our next meal coming from. Because most of us got money. We go to the grocery store and want to go. You know, but we ain't got to worry about a lot of these things that people are doing. You know, the Bible says the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. I've been using that scripture. God is my portion. You know, back in the Old Testament when the priests, we was talking about this a little bit. I told him I was going to my sermon. Back in the old days, the priests, when they did all of the God's business and the people brought forth their sacrifices and stuff, the priests, the Bible says that they will not have an inheritance with the children of Israel. And I began to think, wait a minute, Lord, what you talking about? Here they doing your work. And you said they ain't going to have no inheritance. What I mean, you know, you got to clear this up for them. It's been about a year ago. But God revealed this thing to me. He said, the Lord is my portion. And I use this analogy. Look, back in the old days, they used to get the good pieces of the sacrifice, the shoulders, you know, the hind quarters. Mom and daddy used to get the best parts of the meat in the house. He sit at the table, we're waiting, make sure he get what he want, then we can get what we want. You know, that's what the portion is. But if the Lord is my portion, I'm a royal priesthood, what am I missing? I ain't missing nothing. He said, look, they my inheritance, but you my priest. You can have everything. Jesus said, you can have what you say. You know? So we ain't got to worry about it. God is my portion. I'm not looking for man to do nothing for me. I'm not looking for him because there's failure in man. There's failure in us. But only God can help us. Only God can touch man's heart and make him do what he need to do. Only God can do that. He said, the Lord is my portion. What is it that I want? Paul said, look, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So what is it that you're looking for that you think you can't have? What is it that you're looking for that you can't have? You can have what you say, Jesus said. A closed mouth won't get fed, they say. If you ain't got what you want, your mouth is shut. That's why I believe the devil's trying to keep our voices, keep us with all these old scratchy stuff. Couple windows. I couldn't come in here and couldn't hardly pray. But I said, Lord, I can't hardly talk. No way. I said, but you know what? I'm finna get down. I'm finna cry out. And I'm telling you, my voice got stronger and stronger and stronger. I'm gonna tell you what I want. I'm gonna bring it to you in the prayer. You know, you have not, saints, because you ask not. You better ask him for something. Don't ask somebody. That slogan is out there. Don't ask somebody. You better ask Jesus. That's who you better ask. And all your troubles that you're going through, don't worry about your troubles. God got something for them too. He said here over in chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 5. The children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hivites and Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Shushan Rishathaima, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Shushan Rishathaima 8 years. Now, when I looked at that, I didn't pay no attention to that. But this morning, I was up early this morning doing some studying, and I'm looking in the computer, and all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. I couldn't think of this on my own. He said, double for your trouble. And I thought, Lord, is that a scripture or is this just me? So we got a brother say, you know, don't ask Google. I asked Google, Lord, is that a scripture for double for your trouble? I asked Pastor this morning. She said, I don't know. But I don't think so, Brother Al. I said, well, you help me out then. Isaiah 61. Y'all can go with me if you want to. Isaiah 61. It reads, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. It's got to be good tidings unto those that are humble, those that will accept the word of God. So a lot of people sit up under the word of God, but they don't accept. They be like, well, I wish you just hurry up. I wish you just be quiet so we can just eat, so we can go and go play some. Because we can go do this. I wish they just be quiet. You know, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Jump down to verse 5. Verse 6. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles in their glory, and ye shall boast yourselves. He said, for your shame, ye shall have double. So I said, Lord, that is a scripture. For your shame, for everything that you're going through, everything that the devil is putting on you, all he's doing is putting a blessing on you. For your trouble, God said, you're going to have double. Double for your trouble. God is so good. I'm like, Lord, I thank you. I receive my double. I receive my trouble. You know, bring the trouble on, devil. Long as God is with me, I can stand, because I know in the end, he said, look, that latter house is going to be greater than that former house. So the things that we used to do, the things that I'm going through, look, when I get over here on the other side, Pastor Preach one time, you got to go through to get to the other side. If you ain't going through to get to the other side, you ain't going nowhere. You got to go through to get to the other side. So devil, bring on the trouble. He can't do nothing to us but bless us. Bless me, Lord, even me, the Bible says. So those two words, Shushan, Reshiam, it means double iniquity, double trouble. God raised up so many different deliverers. He raised up, here I'm not going to read, he raised up one guy named Anathol. He raised up Ehud. He raised up Shamgar. He raised up, believe it or not, y'all, he raised up Deborah, a woman. She was a judge. For all you men, can you see my face, Derek? For all you men don't think women supposed to be preaching, ain't supposed to be doing God's work, where you at? He raised up Deborah. And the man, God said to Deborah, she said, Barak, I want you to go on up there and do such and such and such. He said, Pastor, I ain't going except you go with me. So come on here. Come on here. We're neither male nor female in Christ. Don't get on the messenger. Don't crucify the mailman. Don't get on UPS because you're getting a whole lot of bad news. You know, don't crucify him. You know, he's just a deliverer. I'm dropping this stuff off. They say it belongs here at this address. It's yours. Your name on it. But I'm going to tell you something. God said there is a blessing out there with your name on it. He going to drop that off for you. How about that? You're going to have double for your trouble. Whatever thing that you're going through, look, God going to double it. It's going to increase it. He said, he told Abraham, look, I'm going to multiply your seed. Look up there in the stars. He said, man, if you can number those stars, that's your seed. You can't number them. You know, God raised up Moses. And they say Moses was the great deliverer. He delivered how many millions out of the land of Egypt? Was it millions? I think we did the math one time. We tried to. You know, but God is the great deliverer. Jesus is the great. We don't need no more Moses. We don't need no more Deborahs. We don't need no more Ehuds. We don't need no more Anathols. We don't need no more of them people. We don't need no more. The Bible says, look, he raised up judges to judge the people. And when they followed that judge, they had rest. But when the judges went to sleep, when they died off, the children of Israel went right on back to doing what they wanted to do. So when the judges die off, look, I'm here to tell you, we have a judge. We have a deliverer. We have a Messiah. We have a rescuer. We have a savior that he didn't sleep with his fathers. He didn't go to sleep with his fathers. The Bible said these people went to sleep. That's why they clowning again. But Jesus, Stephen said, look, I saw the heavens open and the Son of God standing by the Father. So he ain't sleep. He's standing by the Father. So he's our deliverer. What you want, like Pastor said this morning, is here. What you need is here. The Bible says you ain't got to send nobody nowhere to get it. The word is not you. What you want, all you got to speak, it's in your mouth. It's in your heart. All you got to do is tell the great deliverer what you want, what you need. He said double for your trouble. All the stuff that you've been going through past, double for your trouble. Not one eye, but both eyes going to see again. Not one knee, but both knees going to be healed. Not one hand, but both hands going to be healed. God going to give you double for your trouble. God is good. So we have an advocate with the Father. That name, Othniel, it means Lion of God, Strength of God. Ehud means he who praises God. Shamgar was a stranger. God tried to raise up strangers to get our attention. He was a stranger. Jesus was a stranger to some people. John said, look, there's one that's standing by you that you know not. He's standing right by him. People act like they don't know who the Messiah is. He'll act like they don't know who can heal. You know? They act like they don't know God's deliver. God's still doing all that stuff. He's still delivering God. God's still doing it. He's still doing it. And Moses means to draw out, to pull out. Jesus is all of those. He is the true Lion of Judah. He is the praise. He is the stranger. But most of all, God, Jesus is that one that drew us out of darkness. He drew us out one day. One day we were talking about this, but one day we were somewhere where we weren't supposed to be. One day we were walking, groping in the dark, blind as a bat, not knowing where we wanted to go, not knowing where we're just feeling around. Till one day Jesus came. I don't know about y'all. I give this testimony off. I was on Natural Bridge in Goodfellas in the 10th Grand Flamingo when Jesus came and got me out of there. Sure enough, I was with my buddies. Just got there about 12:30, 1 o'clock. Just got off work, ran into the club. And all of a sudden, I had me an orange juice, tending like I was drinking. Spirit Lord came to me and said, go home. Get out of here. You don't belong here. And I'm looking around. He said it three times. Three times. I want to make sure I heard him. If I had stayed, that would have been on me. But I jumped up quickly and ran to my buddy and said, man, y'all got to take me home. I got to go. And they said, Fred, what's wrong with you? What's happening? You got some static? That means somebody bothering you? Somebody step on your shoes? Because I had a thing about stepping on my tennis shoes, man. You know, can't be stepping on my kicks, man. And I'm telling the stuff, dude, can't step on your kicks in the hood now. You got, look, man, look, you can talk, but don't look. I said, no, ain't nothing happening, but I don't know, but just take me home. And from that day forth, I began to go home in this big red chair and begin to read the word of God. And I asked my mom about it. She said, the Lord is calling you. So I thank the Lord for calling. I thank God for giving me the mind, giving me the heart to say, yes, Lord, to your will. Yes, I go way out there in that old country, Lord. Yes, I go wherever you want me to go. You lead me and guide me. You take me where I need to go, Jesus. The Lord's word is the light of my path. He is. He'll take you places, like Joel said, he'll take you places you've never been. And he sure enough will. But saints of God, I hope that I've encouraged you. I want you to know that, look, all our troubles that we're going through, let us pray for one another. Let us bind together. Break yokes. We got the power to pull down strongholds. We got the power. It's in us. It's in us. But unto God, who can do all things, you know, he can do it all. You know, he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory only by Christ Jesus. Only by Jesus Christ he'll do it. God is going to give you a double for your trouble. Just hang on in there. Just watch and see what God don't do. Watch and see won't God do it for you. Watch and see. But you got to be of his house too. I believe you got to be saved. I'm sorry. A lot of people don't believe that. He reigns on the unjust as well as the just. But these kind of blessings, he's talking to Israel. He said, look, if y'all get right, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. So you got to be saved. You got to be born again. You must be born again. You must come in at the door. God's got a way that you can't say it. God's got a way that you can't go under. He's got a way that you can't go around it. You got to come through that straight and narrow way. It's a straight and narrow way. The Bible, one of the disciples said, Lord, who can be saved? These are hard sayings. These things are hard. Who can be saved? Who can do these things? You can. You can. You can. I can. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You can do them too. But do we want to do them? Are we willing to go through? Are we willing to keep the mouth shut? Or we're going to cringe your toe and say, Lord, I want to say something, but I'm just going to be quiet and let this one ride. I'm going to let this one ride here. Maybe next time. And when the next time comes, Lord, I'm going to be quiet. I don't have a problem with being quiet no more. I don't have a problem. But you got to be born again. Saints of God, I hope I've said something to encourage you today. I hope I've said something that will get you thinking today that it's all Jesus. That's all we need is Jesus. It's Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noonday, Jesus in the evening, Jesus late at night. He's a God that never sleeps nor slumber. It's all Jesus. Jesus got what we need. He got your number. Remember we used to say that? I got your number. I see you when I get out of school. Jesus got your number. He'll see you right here and he'll see you when you leave this place. He got your number. He'd call you up. Just answer and say, yes, Lord. Just answer and say, yes, Lord, I will. I will, Lord. I believe that old crazy boy. I will, Lord. I'm going to try you out, Lord. I'm going to do it for you, Jesus. And I'm going to just try it. And if you don't work, Lord, you know how I am. But watch and see, don't he work. Watch and see, don't he work. Saints of God, God bless you. I love you. Anybody need prayer for anything? Anybody need the Lord this morning? We'll touch and agree. We won't look at you funny. You know, anybody need anything from the Lord this morning? Don't leave out of here the same way you came. Don't leave out the same way you came. If you need it, God's got it. I ain't got it. I'm broke. I ain't got no blessings. I ain't got no blessing to give you. I ain't got no money to give you. But I can point you to one who got it. Who got it all. It's all in his hands. Everything is in Jesus' hand if you don't believe it. I'm crazy about Jesus. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's all Jesus. Jesus gonna get this thing done. Obama couldn't get it done. This man ain't gonna get it done. The next one ain't gonna get it done. If he saved, we can get something done. If he just called on the name of Jesus, we can get something done. But it's out of the hands of man. So stop looking at these men when they elect them in there. Stop saying, and it's the saints. Stop saying what he gonna do. He ain't gonna do nothing. He ain't gonna do nothing. If he do anything, he gonna lead us into some trouble. Any of them will. I ain't just getting on down. Any of them. Obama stayed up. He'd have got us in trouble. Because they taking the Lord out of things. You know? God ain't in it no more. We don't need you no more, Lord. You know, God saved you, bring you out of that stuff. You don't keep going back, flip-flopping. I'm saved Sunday, Monday, I'm kind of saved Tuesday. You know, but when you get to Saturday and Sunday, I'm really saved because I'm going to church Sunday. Man, y'all better cut that mess out. Either you in it or you out. You can't straddle that fence. Get all the way in and get both feet wet. Dip on in the pool, man. Jump on in there, man. I don't care if you don't know how to swim. He'll bring you back up. Look, nobody need prayer. I'm going to turn this service back over to the hands of our pastor. God bless you.
Let's get a Lord. Let's get a Lord a clap offering.